Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
We looked at Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We don't have time today, but you can go back or you can go to last week's service. And here he is, like Daniel said, Jehoshaphat, the army of Israel, but he has all these kings and enemies coming against him. So it's kind of like you and me. He's outnumbered. We sang it today. The odds are against us, right? We're more than enough with God on our side. But the odds were against him. He was outnumbered, outmaneuvered, overwhelmed, in a crisis, and he didn't know what to do. So King Jehoshaphat, it's a wonderful story. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. So what did he do? Like Daniel said, he set himself to seek the Lord. He set himself to seek the Lord. He prayed, and he called a corporate fast to the whole church. In other words, the whole nation of Israel. And he called a corporate fast, so they fasted and they prayed, and he said, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you, God. Well, he did seven things. Let's look at them real quick, because I have something else I want to pick up today, okay? So you're a fast note taker, amen? So number one, go to God for help. Go to God for help. You say, Pastor, that sounds so elementary. Well, you heard me read requests of people who went to an addiction for help, but we just read them. A lot of people, they don't go to God for help. Prayer is not their first response. Fasting is not their first response. They go to everything under the sun but God for help. So I just want to encourage you today, if you're in a crisis, God loves you, God's for you, and go to God today, and he will help you. So what did he do? He went to God for help, and he responded. Remember I told you last week, when you're in a crisis, if we react, we're going to lose. But if we respond, we're going to win. If we panic, we're going to lose. But if we pray, we're going to win. So we can, in a crisis, it's a turning point. Remember I shared with you last week from Webster's Dictionary that a crisis is a turning point, for better or for worse. And it's all dependent on how I respond to the doctor's report, the judge's verdict, the counselor, what the lawyer said. It's all dependent on how I respond to it. We want to respond and not react. He responded with prayer and fasting. Amen, everybody? And that's what we're doing as a church. And if you haven't started, there's still a week left. I encourage you to get in on it, because I'm telling you, I started this church 37 years ago. I'm telling you, from my own opinion, this is the most strategic fast we've ever had. It is. It's the most pivotal and strategic and important fast in 37 years, and I've been here for 37 Januaries, okay? This is the most important. This is the most important. I started, our families, we started way back at the 1st of January. I'm in my 40th plus day before even January, because I believe it's very pivotal, it's very strategic, that we hear God's voice in the days to come. Number two, what did he do? You could put it up there for me, guys, would you? He focused on God's character. He focused on God's character. My word, remember I tell everybody get one word for every year because it gives you direction. My word for this year was focus. Focus. Focus on God's character. Whatever I'm focusing on, I'm feeling. If I'm feeling down, I'm focusing on the wrong things. If I'm depressed, I'm focusing on the wrong things, right? So focus on God's character. What does that mean? Guys, go ahead with the screen, would you, for me? Under that. Okay, I think we had under that, focus on God's character. Was that what God has done, what God is doing? We don't have time. Praise God. All right, there you go. Honolulu. Jalapeno. Hallelujah. All right, so focus on God's character. Letter A, remember how big God is. I think sometimes we forget how big God is because of the big problems we're facing, of the impossibilities that we're facing, of the difficulties. But we need to stop and look at the nature of God. Under that, we need to remember how big God is. Say it with me. I have a big God. And then turn to somebody and just ask them, how big is your God? Whatever you and I choke at, whatever you and I choke at, whatever you and I struggle at, whatever you and I, you know, we just can't see God doing it, that's how big our God is. It's a powerful statement. All right? So let me go over here. I'm going to help you all out today on B. Remember what God has done. Focus on the nature of God, the character of God. Remember what God has done. I got up this morning, and I don't say this to brag on this. I say this to let you know I'm serious. I'm committed as your pastor, and I love you. I was up this morning, 4:30, praying for y'all. I'm laying there in bed, got worship music going. Kim's in the front room. She's praying, and I'm worshiping for you. And, you know, I just begin to think about how good God's been over 37 years. Oh, my goodness. He took us the lion, the bear, and the Goliath. And the goober and the gober and the gomer and whatever. Amen? You know, the stalactites, the parasites, the jebusites, the termites. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Those were all tribes in the promise. Remember what God has done. And then see, remember what God has promised. Remember what God has promised. Focus on God's character. Admit, number three, you need God. Admit you need God. Boy, there have been times in my life where man couldn't help me. Man said there was no help. Well, what do I need to do? I need to go to God. I need to admit, God, I need you. God, I need you with my marriage today. I need you, God, today. Help me to raise my children in an ungodly world so they'll be godly. Remember one of our prayer requests, help in raising a family, a young families. So it may sound simple, but it's not, because a lot of people, the Bible even says, in our culture today, what does our culture say? They don't need God. They pushed him out of the schools, right? They pushed him out of government. They pushed him out of everything. They've pushed God out. Our culture doesn't, they say, I don't need God. Well, I'm here to say, I need God. I need God. Then number four is focus on God's promises and not your problem. You'll read that in 2 Chronicles 20, Jehoshaphat would do that. He would declare what God had promised, that God was a covenant-keeping God. Then number five, get a word from God. He got a word from God. The prophet came and gave him a word. And we all know we need a word from God, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing a rhema word, a specific word. So you need to get a word from God if you're going to pray correctly in a crisis, because remember I taught you John 15, verse 7, if you abide in him and his word abides in you, his word abides in you, his word abides in you, then pray. What's he saying? Pray the word. Pray the promises. Got to get a word to pray. You got to ask God. You ever think about this? Sometimes we need to ask God, what should we pray? God, what do you want me to pray for my marriage, my health, my finances, my children, at work, my career, my business? God, what do you want me to pray? Ask God for a word from his word to pray. Because when you pray the word, you're praying his will. Am I right, everybody? And then number six, thank God in advance before you get the victory. This is huge. You heard me say it when we got done praying collectively for corporate prayer. Y'all remember God gave him a word and said, send the praisers out first. Wow. Send the praisers out first. And they sang, praise ye the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. They were bragging on the goodness of God in the middle of a crisis, and being outnumbered, overwhelmed, the odds against them, back against the wall, in a corner, looked hopeless. They were to focus on the goodness of God. Wow. And as they did that, you know what happened? They began to thank God for the victory, but the enemy was still there. They hadn't got the victory in the natural, but they were getting the victory in the spiritual realm. You got to thank God in advance before you get the victory. So God, I give you the glory today for the victory. Thanks be unto God who causes us to triumph in every situation. Thanks be unto God who giveth the victory. Before you see it, you have to believe it and declare it. By believing it and declaring it, you will eventually see it. Amen, everybody? So then number seven, the seven things that Jehoshaphat did, expect the battle to be turned into a blessing. Expect. Everybody say expect. I know what God's going to do in my life this year. I know what he's going to do in your life this year. Exactly what we expect. What are you expecting this year? You're in a battle. I'm in a battle. All of God's children are in a battle. Old McDonald had a battle, here a battle, there a battle. Right? I mean, it's part of life. It's part of life. But we can't focus on the battles. We've got to focus on our God, what He said. We're in covenant. We've got to offer up thanksgiving. It's called the sacrifice of praise. In a crisis, we know this too will be turned out for your good, turned around for your good. That the battle you're in is going to be a blessing. The test you're in will be a testimony to turn the hearts of your family to God. Ooh, that's a word for somebody. You feel there was a different anointing when I said that? All right. So expect the battle to be turned into a blessing. And don't expect, this is for somebody, don't expect the battle to be eternal. That's for somebody here or Tuscaloosa, Florida. I don't know where you're at. Miami. Amen. That's for somebody. Because sometimes the devil will tell us that the battle we're in, the crisis we're in, is eternal. In other words, it's never going to change. But the devil is a liar. And his pants will soon be on fire. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. So we're not going to listen to him. Amen, everybody? So everybody say, expect. Okay. Expect that this is not forever. It's temporary. It's subject to change. God can do it in a twinkling of an eye. If we meet the conditions and create the atmosphere, then the battle is the Lord and not ours. If we meet the conditions and create the atmosphere, praise and worship, faith, love, then the battle becomes the Lord and not ours. Amen, everybody? See, if I'm worn out today, if I'm burnt out today, if I'm tired and I'm weary, I'm trying to fight the battle. You know you're trying to fight the battle if you're burnt out, if you're worn out, if you're frenzied, if you're fretting, if you're worrying, if you're anxious, if you're worn out. That means we're trying to do it in the flesh, right? But we're not going to win it in the flesh because our weapons are not natural. Our weapons are super natural. Amen, everybody? All right, so that we conclude then a part two on how to pray when you're in a crisis. Y'all got it? Okay, now, let me go into something else real quick. We got time. Let me go on to something else. What do you pray for? What do we pray for? Next week, I'm going to talk about who do we pray to. But what do we pray for? We want to pray God's will because that's the only way we're going to get answers to our prayers. We want to pray correctly. Remember, I gave you the illustration that prayer is an art. Prayer is a skill. And the more we pray correctly, the better we'll get at it. Remember, I gave you the illustration of me taking guitar lessons way back when I was a youth pastor. And the instructor would give me the lesson, but I wouldn't practice during the week. I'd show back up the next Saturday to get another lesson. He got real upset with me because he said, "You're not practicing during the week what I'm teaching you on Saturday." He said, "This is a skill. This is an art. You got to practice it correctly to get good at playing the guitar." Same thing with prayer. I've got to practice it correctly. Now, I can't just pray and throw things out there if I want to get results with my prayer life. Y'all with me, everybody? Sure do love y'all. Sure do love y'all at home. Amen. So what do you pray for? Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to our leader and commander, and his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Alpha, the Omega, the Lily of the Valley, right? The Rose of Sharon. I'm going to go to El Shaddai, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Tiskenu, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Roi. I'm going to go to Jesus, and I want to look at his example. I want him to be my model. I want him to be my pattern. Now watch this. What to pray for? Do you know, so I went to the Gospels because that's where we get the life of Christ, right? You don't get the life of Christ in the epistles. You get the life of Christ in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's the life of Christ. Everyone say the life of Christ. So you should study the life of Christ. Amen. It'll help you trust him. Amen. Have faith in him. It will do all kinds of dynamic, wonderful things for your walk in the Lord, the life of Christ. So I'm going to look at the life of Christ and what did he pray for? What did Jesus pray for? I'm not talking about the Pauline prayers. I'm not talking about the prayers of Paul in the epistles. I'm talking about the prayers of Jesus. Now, they taught me in college, you always want to look at the law of first mention. What does that mean? The first time it's mentioned in the Bible is very important because it sets a precedent. So the law of first mention, let's look at the very first prayer that Jesus Christ prayed. Then we know what to pray for. Am I right so far? Okay, so let's look at it. I'm going to go over here to the board. What to pray for? COVID. the last how many months, people getting hurt, people getting offended, people getting bitter, the rage culture. You know, they call that the rage culture right now. The very first prayer Jesus Christ ever prayed was, he said, you're to pray for your enemies and those who've hurt you. Boy, it's getting quiet in this Church on the Rock church today. See, I want to learn from him, amen? Because you know why? The law of first mention, why would Jesus, his very first prayer would be love your enemies and pray for those who hurt you? Why would that be his very first prayer? Because you know what? All other prayers won't work if there's unforgiveness over somebody who hurt me during COVID, during the election. Y'all love me, right? You gotta love me to go to heaven, amen. Okay, I want to help you. So forgiveness for your enemies. So let's look at it. Matthew 5, verse 44. Stay with me now, everybody. But I say unto you, Jesus is talking. This is Matthew 5. This is the Beatitudes. Love your enemies. Oh, Jesus, that's hard, especially in COVID. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Oh, my goodness. Man, I've been cursed for not wearing a mask. I've been cursed for going out the wrong door. I've been cursed for this and cursed for that. And old McDonald had a curse. Here a curse, there a curse, everywhere a curse, curse. Bless them that curse you and do good to them that hate you and pray for them that despitefully use you and have persecuted you. My brother and sister, this is the first prayer of Jesus Christ that he ever prayed in the New Testament, the Gospels, the life of Christ. This is the law of first mention. So what do we pray for? We pray for God, you know, that we would forgive those who've wronged us and that we would forgive those that we've wronged, vice versa. So we need to pray. What we pray for? We pray for forgiveness, to get unforgiveness out of our life so that any other kind of prayer will work for us. Amen? Anybody got any enemies? Don't raise your hand today. Anybody got anybody that you would rather curse than bless? Don't raise your hand. Anybody got anybody you'd rather hate than love? Just, you know, I can see it in your body language. That's right, Pastor, praise God, my neighbor, the person I work with, hallelujah, my outlaw, in-law, praise God. You know, we all have it. Now, let me tell you what happened to me this week. We're on 21-day fast. I'm way beyond the 21-day fast. And guess what happened to your pastor this week? On Monday, my truck got stolen. I'm in St. Louis at a chiropractor's office, and I come out, and my brand new, I had a brand new Ford truck. And that's a weird feeling if you've ever had that happen. And you walk out, it's gone. I mean, there's another black Ford truck there, but it ain't. It aren't mine. And so somebody ripped off my truck. In my truck was my checkbook, credit cards, gift cards, mementos, all kinds of things, personal items, and all got stolen. That's money. Bless God, I'm on fast. I'm just trying to teach you today that we're not moved by what we see. Well, Pastor, I went on fast last year and I didn't get this. Well, I went on fast this year and got my truck stolen. Had to rechange all my banking accounts and all the automatic things. And you ever gone through all that? Automatic pay. And Sarah, I just went techie. I knew it wasn't God's will. Y'all were praying for me. The automatic check thing and automatic this and automatic this. And I'm old school check and y'all prayed for me, and I finally went techie, and look what happened. Somebody stole my truck, my checkbook, and all that numbers that went with it. Wow. So, you know, what's the first thing I had to do? I'm going to be honest with you. I'm giving God the glory and the praise and the honor for the fast, right? Because I'm standing out there, and it's gone, you guys. And the police come, St. Louis police come, and they say, yours is the fourth truck this guy has stolen today. And you know, we're standing there, and seriously, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. You know what I did? And God gets all the glory. You know what I did? I said, God, and my brother, I said, I forgive this dude or dudess, or whoever it was, or I forgive them right now. I don't think I would have done that if I hadn't been in the fast. Come on, don't look so. I don't see any angel wings out here today. I said, God, I forgive them today. I really, because I knew what I was going to teach on. I said, God, I forgive them today. I let it go. It's just a truck. God, you'll bless me somehow, some way. In Jesus' name, Father, I just thank you. I pray that they get born again. Here's what I said. Spirit-filled, called into the ministry and called to the worst church. No, and just called into the ministry. And so what were we doing? What do we got to do, my brother and sister? We all get hurt. We all get wounded. We all get persecuted. We all get judged. We all get misunderstood. But Jesus, 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 the very first prayer he prayed was, you got to let it go. You got to let it drop. You got to forgive them. It's more for you than it is them. Come on, somebody. Y'all get something? Okay. So what do we pray for? That you may be children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Wow. For if you love them that love you, what reward do you have? So there's a reward in loving the unlovable. Wow, I might get a Porsche. Do you choke on that? Are you choking on that? I mean, God said he's going to reward me if I'll forgive him. I don't think I would have forgiven him if I hadn't been on this fast. For if you love them which love you, what reward do you get? Do not even the religious people do the same? So notice, please note, I want to extract. There is a reward when you forgive your ex, when you forgive the one who raped you, that hurt you, the incest, the alcoholic father that beat you. When you forgive, when you were misjudged at work and you should have got the promotion and you didn't, what the teacher said, what they said, what they did, when you and I choose, it's a choice, it's not easy. God, Jesus, that's the first prayer. What do I pray for? That's the first prayer you prayed, is that I would forgive those who hurt me. Oh my goodness. And God said he'll reward us. Boy, God's a good God, isn't he? He knows our pain, everybody. He knows our pain. So I'm hustling here. And if you salute your brethren only, what more than that others? Do not even the religious people do that? Be therefore perfect. That means mature, grow up, even as your Father, which is in heaven, mature. So I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the... Praise God for the fast. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the choice. React to respond. Not the worst. I'm going a little longer. I hope it's okay. Is it all right with y'all? But when someone gives you a hard time, respond with what? Prayer. If I respond on social media and blasting them, I lose my reward. And all my other prayers won't get answered. But if I will ask God to help me, give us the grace, the strength, the power to let it go, let it drop, and forgive them. This is the first prayer Jesus prayed in the life of Christ in the Gospels. Now, we're not looking at the epistles. We're looking at the Gospels, the life of Christ. Jesus, our author and finisher of our faith, the first prayer he prayed was for forgiveness, to forgive those who had hurt him. When someone gives you a hard time at work, respond with what? Prayer. Respond with prayer. For then you're working out your own true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. This is the Message translation. This is what God does. He gives his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish, to everyone, regardless, the good, the bad, the nice, the nasty. Wow. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Wow, we could get a bonus out of this. We can expect a bonus. We can expect a reward. How cool is that? Anybody can do that. We're going to move on. Can I give you one more thing? What to pray for? What to pray for? I'm going to get out of that. We've heard enough of that. Praise God. All right? Number two, what Jesus say? The second thing we should pray for? Your needs. Your needs. Wow. Now, I'm going in Matthew, the first book. Really, it's not the New Testament yet, even though it's listed in the New Testament. The New Testament church didn't start till the book of Acts. But the life of Christ is in the Gospels. And the second thing, what should we pray for? He said, you should pray for your needs. This verse right here, Matthew 6, verse 8. Y'all still with me? I'm hustling. Don't be like them as the team comes out. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you, even before you. This is the first prayer, the second prayer. The first was Jesus said, pray for forgiveness, to forgive those who've hurt you in COVID. And then he said, number two, he said, now you can go pray for your needs and God will hear you. Ooh, I like that. And you know what? That's spiritual need, that's financial need, that is relational, that is every area of our life, every need, okay? And then number three, pray for laborers for the lost. As the team is out, pray for laborers for the lost. This is the third prayer that he prayed. Jesus, what should we pray for? For forgiveness and to forgive and to let it go and let it drop. Then what should we pray for? Your needs, family, financial, physical, relational, mental. And then the third thing he said is pray for the lost. Pray for laborers for the lost. Jesus must really care about the lost, right? He said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. This is Jesus. So what? Pray. This is the third prayer Jesus told us to pray. The law of first mention, first, second, third prayer that he told us to pray. What should we pray for? Workers for the lost. He said, pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. He turned to his disciples and said, the harvest is huge. It's ripe right now, everybody. Ripe right now. We're about to enter a revival and an awakening. The harvest is huge, but there's not enough workers or harvesters to bring it all in. So as you go, plead with the owner of the harvest, that's Jesus, to thrust out many more reapers to harvest his grain. We're going to stop right there. So the first thing that he said to pray for, what should we pray for? What's what, everybody? Forgiveness, that we would forgive and let go. The second thing was now we can pray for our needs. And the third thing is that we pray for workers, soul winners, to reach the lost. How cool is that?
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.